Now, there may be people who are fairly new here today, or there may be people who perhaps, for some reason or another, have missed the memo that here at Westview, we have discerned and committed ourselves to the strategy of equipping and sending Westview out on mission, and our mission is to make passionate disciples of Jesus. You might have missed that. I'm not sure. Our equipping activities involve our teaching here on Sunday mornings, the missionary training tools that we have been looking to do. And even this week, in my examination of my spheres of influence, actually even yesterday, I picked up a sphere of influence that I missed. I was on a barbecue yesterday at Bunnings at Rouse Hill for Cassie's netball team. And for 6 months of the year, or 5 months of the year, every Saturday for an hour and a half, I meet these people. I just left them off. There's a circle now on my little map, and there's another group of people that I'm praying for because I interact with those people. Yeah. So the missionary training tools, the spheres of influence, people getting involved in the one-to-one discipleship program and prayer. These are the things that we've said are equipping our people to go out on mission. We've decided that there are several indicators that we should use to measure, if you like, our progress in these areas. It's good to have these things that we can look at and say to ourselves, well, this is happening. We thought it was important to be able to say, this is happening. We can see this, this, and this. We want to see new disciples coming to faith in Christ. We want to see that happening. We want to see an increase in the number of people involved in the one-to-one discipleship program, and that's happening. And if you're not involved and you want to get involved, please speak to JJ, myself, or anybody you know who's already doing it. We can make that happen. We're seeing an increase in our contact with the local community. We've got a youth group that started up. It's such exciting news. We have a friends group that meets here on Wednesday that has such a way of reaching into the community that otherwise we wouldn't have. We have other things that are happening in that area. The Wiggling Wombats that is now a part of the ministry of this church. We want to see an increase in the joyful expression of our love in Jesus. And a lot of that happens here or happens when you meet with people. And we see that. We can see those things. And there are those indicators that we don't want to just tick off and say, yeah, we've done that. We want to look at those indicators and rejoice in them and be glad in them. That's what we want to do. It's a little bit difficult, isn't it, sometimes to want to see the indicators of a growing commitment and growth in your prayer life, in the prayer life of a church. It's a very personal thing, praying. And so how do we express a growing commitment or growth in prayer in our church? All of these things are happening because at one point, somewhere soon in the future, we want to be able to send 30, 40 people to plant another church in Western Sydney. This is the reason why all of this is taking place. But what are the indicators, the markers, the signposts of growth, of maturity in our prayers as a community of faith in Jesus? Is it more involvement in prayer? Is it having more opportunities to pray? Is it the depth of prayers? Greater commitment to praying individually? Is it seeing answers to prayer? Is that an indicator of growth? I want to start off this morning by saying a pretty big statement. I did give JJ a little heads up a couple of weeks ago that I was going to say something like this, but I didn't actually have it worded, but I'm sure he agrees. Okay, I'm going to read it so I get it right. I want to say something about the role of prayer in our mission to make passionate disciples of Jesus. I believe we will not succeed in achieving anything in our mission to make passionate disciples of Jesus, no matter how good the teaching on Sunday morning, no matter how many missionary training tools we learn and put into use, no matter how many people are involved in one-to-one or any other discipleship program, no matter how many youth groups we have, no matter how many churches we want to plant, if we as a community of faith in Jesus are not devoted to prayer, we will not succeed in anything if we are not, as a community of faith in Jesus, devoted to prayer. We looked last week at how we are called, encouraged, we are urged, we are commanded to be devoted to prayer, personally and collectively. We looked at what that looks like. This morning, we want to look and think a little bit deeper into how that is going to affect our mission, at this process that we're going on. Our commitment to being a community devoted to prayer, how is that going to look? How are we going to get these effective, powerful prayers that James talked about and we looked at last week? In the passage we read in Jude, my thanks to Sue and to God for reminding me that we had a Bible reading. In the passage we read in Jude, we are to build ourselves up in our most holy faith and pray in the Holy Spirit. It's always good to see why the writer says we are to do the things that they write down. Build yourself up in your most holy faith, pray in the Holy Spirit. Why should we do that? We're not left guessing by James. He tells us very clearly, build yourselves up in your most holy faith, pray in the Holy Spirit to keep yourselves in God's love as you wait for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ to bring you to eternal life. And while these two statements are so interconnected, build yourself up in your most holy faith, pray in the Holy Spirit so you can keep yourself in God's love, you've probably guessed that we're going to focus our thinking on that second part about how do we pray in the Holy Spirit. What does it mean to pray in the Holy Spirit? How do we pray in the Spirit of God? Is there any other way of praying so that praying in the Holy Spirit is some kind of special prayer? We pray in the Holy Spirit if it is God's Spirit that moves us to pray and guides us in our prayers. That's the answer to those questions. We pray in the Holy Spirit if it is His Spirit that moves us to pray and guides us in our prayers. What does this mean? 1 Corinthians 2 reveals a good deal about what the Holy Spirit does in our lives, but in verse 12, we get a snapshot, I think, of His role in our life. 1 Corinthians 2, 12 and 13. We've not received the Spirit of this world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we may understand what God has freely given us. That is why we speak, not in words taught us by human wisdom, but in words taught by the Spirit, expressing spiritual truths in spiritual words. If we are controlled by the Spirit of God, then His Spirit will be helping us to understand what God has freely given us. Every blessing in the heavenly realms, every good and perfect gift, everything we need to test and approve His good, pleasing, perfect will. And so it will be His Spirit that moves us to prayer and guides us in our prayers, if we are the people controlled by the Spirit of God. Jude is not the only place in the Scriptures where we're encouraged to pray in the Spirit. Last week, we read in Ephesians 6:18, pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints. Pray in the Spirit on all occasions. This wonderful depiction of the Christian putting, this is in Ephesians 6, of the Christian putting on the armor of God, putting on all of those things, is all capped off by his urging that the person fully protected, fully prepared with these spiritual tools, ready to take their stand in the mighty power of God, pray. Pray in the Spirit with all kinds of prayers and requests. These are the passionate disciples of Jesus, those who have responded to his call on their lives, to pray in the Spirit that He freely gives each one of us on all occasions. What's your immediate reaction to that? Every time you pray as a passionate disciple of Jesus, as a follower of Jesus, you pray in His Spirit. Because His Spirit lives within you. His Spirit lives within you. Pray on all occasions. How helpful to remember that this means every time we pray in the Spirit, because we've all received God's Spirit. It's not some kind of special power, special prayer that can only be performed by those who have some kind of special giftedness or have some kind of special extra encounter with God. That's not true. Every single follower of Jesus who has received the Holy Spirit, which Jesus says He would send to us, we pray in the Spirit when we pray. Praying in the Spirit is not some kind of special prayer different from all other prayers. It's just what we all do. Remember James 5:16 last week? Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. The prayer of a righteous person, not a righteous few or a select few or those that I've just picked out. The prayer of all the righteous, all of those who are passionate disciples of Jesus. We saw last week who the righteous were. And we've talked about that this morning. I would encourage you at some point this week to go home and read Romans 8 again. Go home and read Romans 8. 15 minutes. Do a little activity. Look at all the things in Romans 8, all the benefits in that passage for those who are controlled by God's Spirit. Just jot them down. All the benefits that come from all of that, for those people who are controlled by God's Spirit. Just write them down. But in particular, work out how we're controlled by the Spirit and yet we're able to enjoy that life of peace with God. It's not a controlling thing where you have to do this, have to do that. It's not that kind of control. It's freeing. That control is freeing us to live a life of peace with God. One commentator compared being moved to prayer and guided our prayers by the Holy Spirit like helping a child cross a busy road. When I read this, I thought, where's this going? How does this work? This is what they said. You don't take a child to the curb and simply tell them to get to the other side by themselves. That's got disaster written all over it. You hold their hand. You teach them to look one way and the other, and then the other way. You talk to them about the busyness of the road. You lead them over the road safely to the other side. He said, praying in the Spirit is similar. We're not brought to the throne of God's grace and left to negotiate our way to praying to the Creator of God in our own weak, poor human condition. We are led there by God's Spirit. We are led there by His Spirit. A lot of the passages we're reading this week, we read last week. But because they are connected, it's helpful. Romans 8:26-27. In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We don't know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groans that words cannot express. And He who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints in accordance with God's will. The Holy Spirit helps us when we pray through His perfect communion with the Father. And again, how encouraging it is to be reminded that when the Spirit of God intercedes on our behalf with groans that words cannot express in our weakness, because we cannot express them ourselves, He does this in accordance with the will of His Father. He does that on our behalf. Praying in the Spirit is a part of praying in the Spirit of God. Living a life controlled by the Spirit of God with His Holy Spirit interceding on our behalf in accordance with the will of the Father, what a depth of intimacy we are privileged to share when we consider the mystery of this possibility. What delight can we enjoy knowing our prayers are offered by the same Spirit who raised Jesus from the dead on our behalf, when our weakness, our words, our vocabulary can't even express what we're even thinking. The Spirit of God does that on our behalf. And so praying in the Spirit is no different to anything else we do as we seek to live a life of worship. When you think about this, when you take it to its logical kind of conclusion, when we are living a life controlled by the Spirit of God, praying in the Spirit is no different to anything else we do. As a person controlled by the Spirit of God, guided and moved by God's Spirit, our prayers are as much in His Spirit as everything else that we are involved in. We're seeking to live lives of worship of God in everything that we do. Our prayers are just a part of that. In Galatians 5:16, Paul says, we are to live by the Spirit. Other translations say walk in the Spirit. The reason we should do this, Paul says, is so that we will not fall into the sin of gratifying the desires of the sinful nature, which doesn't lead to life of peace, which is, of course, God's our desire for us. God wants that for us, to be controlled by His Spirit, to walk in His Spirit, to live in His Spirit, is God's desire for us. To the Philippians, in Philippians 3:3, Paul said, they worship in the Spirit and so glory in Christ Jesus. And again, this is a part of a life of worship, not some added on super gift only for the benefit of a select few. It is for all who are controlled by His Spirit, all who are passionate disciples of Jesus. It is who we are, how we are to enjoy God in everything that we do. Everything that we do. So, how do we pray in the Holy Spirit? So that it is indeed God's Spirit who is moving us to prayer and guiding us in our prayers. I think there are a couple of things we need to connect up here to help us understand this and to get a really good grasp on it. Remember in James 5, the prayer of a righteous person that powerful and effective, and we're reminded that a righteous person is only righteous because they've put their trust and faith in Christ and so have received the Holy Spirit. And that verse in Philippians 3 concludes by saying the people of faith have no confidence in themselves, no confidence in their flesh. In other words, there's no confidence in our own abilities. Okay, praying in the Spirit of God is putting your trust in Him. We are weak, confused, overwhelmed, depressed, weary, tired, all of these things in our world burden us down. It's exactly the perfect time to remember that we have the Spirit of God to guide and lead us in our prayers. But I find it more challenging sometimes when I'm not in those positions, when I'm feeling pretty good about life, when everything's good in the world of Lee. I find it a little difficult sometimes then to remember I'm still led and guided by God's Holy Spirit. But then, remember what James said last week? If anyone's in trouble, he should pray. If anyone's happy, let them sing songs of praise. Let the Spirit of God move and guide you in your praise and in your worship. No matter where you're at in your life, let the Spirit of God guide and lead you and move you in all that you pray. In 1 Peter 1:21, Peter says, prophecy never had its origin in the will of humankind, but people spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. I hope we want to be people carried along by the Holy Spirit of God. I hope that's what we want to do. And more than hope that's what we want to do, what are we doing to make that happen in our life? What are we doing more and more to make that happen in our life? We want to be moved by the Holy Spirit, guided by the Holy Spirit, dependent on the Holy Spirit in our prayers. What are we doing individually, in one-to-one discipleship groups, collectively as a church, to see that happen in our lives? We are to be a people dependent on God in prayer, being devoted to prayer, by praying in the Holy Spirit as part of our strategy to equip and send Westview on mission to make passionate disciples of Jesus for the glory of God. That's what we want to be about. In his book, Fruitful Church, A Manifesto for Sending, Andrew Turner writes that churches that send face big questions. Some of the questions he lists, I'm sure, have been on your minds, and I'm sure you have many other questions as we've gone through this process over the last few months. But Turner asks these big questions. How will we survive financially? If we are a church that sends, if we are a church that's sending out 20, 30, 40 people to plant a church, how will we survive financially? Who will fill the ministry gaps in our church? I don't mean to be too depressing here, but let's just say Sam and Connie go to the church plant and take these wonderful children with them. Who will fill that gap? That's a big question. You can't go. You have to stay. No. These are questions I'm sure that are on people's minds. Will this be the end? Will this be the death? He actually uses the word death. Will this be the death of our church? I'm sure you have other questions that run through your mind. But he concludes this. There are no easy answers, but there is a good answer. We will be the kind of church that needs to pray. That's his conclusion to those questions. Don't know who's going to take over that ministry. Don't know who's going to sing. Don't know if it's going to be the end of us financially. But we do know this. We will have to be the church that prays. Remember my earlier statement about our mission. Well, we will succeed in our mission to make passionate disciples of Jesus if we are devoted to praying in the Holy Spirit of God, in our weakness, because we have put our faith and our trust in God and the transforming work of His Word. And when faith and trust and God's Word are moving and guiding our prayers, then we are praying in the Holy Spirit of God. And we know that the prayer offered in faith are powerful and effective. And we know that God will honour those prayers. We know He wants to act when we pray this way. It's difficult to look at our prayers to evaluate them in any kind of quantitative way, like we can with so many other things. We already had a look at that. So what are the indicators that gauge our growth, our dependence on God in prayer, our commitment to prayer? Well, we are seeing God answer our prayers. Oh, do we have a location where this church plant's going to be? Do we know who's going? Do we know who's going to lead it? We don't have any of those answers. They're not the important answers right now. They will be, but they're not important right now. But I said to the target group that we met when we met last week, I said every single time that we have met for some purpose in our mission, whether it's just the elders, whether it's the elders, deacons, the target group, or our whole church, every time we've met, we've moved forward, haven't we? I think we have. Every time we've met, we have moved forward in this process. That's an answer to our prayers. That's an indicator, I think, I'm sure, of how God is honouring our devotion to prayer. I think it is. We are seeing people in these one-to-one discipleship groups. I see that being an area where this is going to develop people's enjoyment, people's devotion to prayer. It's not as easy to quantify as other things. I'm sure it's not. I'm not saying it is. I'm not going to be able to stand up here in 3 months, 6 months, a year's time and say, hey, look at this, 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 and this, in those sort of quantitative ways. But we are seeing God work. We are seeing God move. We are seeing God lead and guide us in our prayers. And I'm sure that that is His will for us. We want to be a people carried along by God's Holy Spirit, and we pray that He does that more and more in our church as we move forward. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for the tremendous encouragement that it has been to see you working in our lives, in our weakness, in our difficulties to cope with not knowing the details. You continue to work out your plans for Westview and your church around the world. And Father, we want to be a people who are carried along by your Holy Spirit. We want to be a people who are constantly seeking your will. And Father, we want to be a people whose trust is put in you despite the fact that we are weak and not in control and have so few answers to these questions that will be important. But Father, again, we want to thank you that we are a church seeking to leave those answers to you. Father, we thank you for the privilege of being able to pray in your Holy Spirit. We thank you for the gift of your Spirit in the lives of each one who calls upon Jesus to save them. Father, we pray that you would continue to bless us in this area of our church. Help us each to think how we can further develop, commit ourselves, devote ourselves to praying in your Spirit and to encourage others to do the same. But Father, we thank you for this great privilege in our lives because we have faith in your Son. In Jesus' name, amen.